Well, brethren, throughout the Bible, one particular beast has gotten a tough break. It's had a really tough existence, but it's not without reason. There is a reason that this poor beast is downtrodden, is always getting the raw end of the deal. And if you will, let's turn to the beginning of the book and see why this beast is so maligned, so hated. If you will, turn with me to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, and beginning in verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall eat, or shall not eat, of every tree of the garden?" And skipping down to verse 14, so the Lord God said to the serpent, after the temptation had gone through, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And from the beginning, God cursed this beast that Satan appeared in the form of. And looking to the end, further on down this human story, the serpent is still low on the list. If you will, turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65 and reading verse 17, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." Speaking of what's going to happen, and down in verse 25, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy all in all my holy mountain, says the Lord." That poor beast is still eating dust, even in the kingdom. You know, we see throughout the Bible, and what kind of helped spur this on was, you know, looking at Satan as the serpent, but we see throughout the Bible examples of serpents. They were sent as a plague against Israel. People are said to have tongues like serpents, and it's not in a positive light. In Psalms 140 we read, "They sharpen their tongues as a serpent. Poison of a viper is under their lips." It's not a nice expression to be put on you. They lie in wait to bite. You know, Paul the apostle found this out when he put his hand in a wood pile and miraculously withstood the poison of it. Everybody around him that saw this serpent lash out and bite him thought he was dead, but he wasn't, because of God's Spirit. Well, in general, it's safe to state that serpents aren't well thought of. They're not written very well about, nor they're treated very well throughout the Bible. And with all of that, we're told to be just like them. If you will, turn with me to Matthew 10. Matthew 10 in a well-known verse, I think. Matthew 10 in verse 16. "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." You know, we are to be wise like serpents because we will be treated like them. We will be hated above all other human beings because of what we know. Not because we are like serpents, you know, in the sense that they're shown about, or, you know, exemplified in the Bible, but because we're going to be hated like them. And we should be crafty and cunning like that serpent of old was to not fall under prey of what this world is doing. Reading further in verse 17, "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils to scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles." In verse 22, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." So we're going to be treated and thought of just like these serpents were. In verse 23, when they persecute you in the city, flee to another. Be crafty. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. That's what we have to look forward to be treated the worst of any human beings on this planet. You know, most shepherds gather their flocks up in order to protect them. They build a strong fence around their flocks. They take shelter in a barn, maybe, if the weather's bad. They hunker down when things are dangerous, if wild beasts are outside. But not Christ. Not Christ is the shepherd that he is. He instead is sending us out into the danger, amidst the wolves, not separate from them. And it's not because he's lacking in his duties that he's not a good shepherd to us. In fact, he is the best shepherd to us. If you will, turn with me to John 10. John 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That is the shepherd that Christ is. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling, does not care about the sheep. But Christ is, and this is what, again, he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. You know, it seems like a dichotomy to be both a serpent and a dove at the same time, but that's exactly how Christ interacted with the world. You know, the Jameson Fawcett Brown says of the verse 16 about the serpent and the dove that it was a combination of unflinching zeal and calm discretion, before which nothing was able to stand. You know, that is Christ exemplified in his life. Unflinching zeal for the truth of God with calm discretion, knowing how to use that Spirit of God to at the absolute perfection. You know, in Luke, it was said, after his interactions with the Jewish leaders of Christ, in chapter 20, but they could not catch him in his words in the presence of the people, and they marveled at his answers and kept silent. That's his that craftiness of understanding, that cunningness to live in this world. And further on it says, then some of the scribes answered and said, Teacher, you have spoken well. But after that they dared not question him anymore. The world that was attacking Christ learned, like, we can't do this. He is beyond reproach. You know, it was God's Spirit and the knowledge of that power that filled Christ with the confidence that he displayed. And that same confidence should fill us as well. It's imperative that same confidence fills us. You know, to the same point that we are willing to get our lives just as Christ was, not hidden away from the world, but amongst the wolves that will tear us apart. You know, it's that willingness that should come from the knowledge of God that should be always with us. That his love will not fail us. If you will, turn with me to Romans. Romans 8. We can read a bit about this, about unfailingness. Romans 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written in verse 36, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, brethren, are we prepared for these wolves? Are we prepared to go out, not to hide behind you know, some man-made walls maybe to shore up, to collect, you know, gallons of rice and water to prepare for what is coming, are we willing to go out to these wolves and do what Christ showed us that we were supposed to and what he did? You know, for into this world that will hate, that will despise us because we are God's chosen, because we are those lambs. You know, are we merely waiting in a proverbial barn that we've built, hoping it will secure us, that some foundation that we have built will secure us? Or are we relying on the foundation of God's truth? You know, the devil is out there. He is the pack leader of these wolves, and he's waiting. And I guarantee he is prepared for the time when God allows him to be unleashed. He is ready with all of his might to go after us, to tear us apart. So, brethren, are we prepared for him?